Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined once again by a wonderful familiar face and a new face as well. Joining us, we have the co-producers and host, Will Clegg and Grant Bowen, who are here to talk to us about Frigid New York and Pale Girl Productions' presentation of Awkward Teenage Years. It's happening Wednesday, May 1st at Under St. Mark's, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting frigid.nyc. We're very excited to be bringing you another great show happening at Under St. Mark's, especially from these two wonderful artists. So let's go ahead and welcome them on. Grant, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. Will, welcome back. It's so good to see you. Thank you both for joining me today.
Sure. Great to see you again, too.
Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited you're both here. I'm so excited to learn more about this great series, Awkward Teenage Years. Will, could I start with you first and have you tell us a little bit about what this show is about?
Sure. The title kind of says a lot. It's a true storytelling show about our awkward teenage years. So there's no specific theme to each show. It's just we ask storytellers, the best ones we can find in New York City, to come and share 6 to 8 minute stories about their middle and high school years. And yeah, it's usually pretty awkward.
Gotta love a good awkward story, right? This sounds perfect, especially for those of us who are older than YouTube and whatnot, when our awkwardness necessarily didn't make the masses, you know. So, Grant, let me come to you, and I'd love to know, how did you all come up with this series?
It's funny because my way into this story or this show, you know, I had just started storytelling. I come from a theater background. I had just started venturing my way into storytelling back in 2019. I had just taken a class with Adam Wade, who was a mutual friend of ours and everything. And the next thing I knew, like, I had met Will at the Moth because I had seen him get up on stage and I was like, oh, wow, this guy's actually pretty amazing already. And so we became friends on social media and he put something out saying, it's like, hey, I'm working on this idea for a storytelling show I want to do for what was then called the Frigid Festival. Now they've relabeled to the New York City Fringe. Does anyone have any stories from middle school or high school? And I responded, it's like, funny you should ask. I've been working on some teen stories in class. I'd love to come on board. And that's where we kind of took it from there. And it was the two of us and our friend Anastasia Maximenko. And we got together and we did 5 performances at the Frigid Festival that year. At that time, it was just the three of us. So it was us getting up there and sharing the same 2 teen stories each show. And from there, it kind of took off.
As the Frigid Festival was winding down, which of course was in March of 2020, the world was about to change. We didn't really know that yet. Or we maybe had a hint of it, you know, but we didn't know exactly what was going to happen. Erez from Frigid had talked to me during the festival about, like, you know, he really loved the idea. Is it something we might want to do monthly? And of course we were like, yeah, we would love to have a monthly show. So we were getting hyped up to start a monthly show. And then the next week, the world shut down. So we didn't start that monthly show at Frigid, but we did actually start doing online shows. We did them almost every week for the first couple of months of the pandemic.
Very ambitious.
Yeah, we streamed live on Twitch and we invited our friends to come and share their teenage stories. And we just kept doing that throughout that entire summer. And then we kind of pared it back to about once a month until Erez made good on his promise. And when theater started to open back up, he invited us to come and start a monthly show. And we've been doing that ever since.
That is amazing. Amazing. Well, now let me ask, you know, what has it been like developing these works, particularly this upcoming iteration of it on May 1st? And Will, let me start with you on that.
It's been really fun for us to work with storytellers on their stories. We offer feedback and like a little rehearsal session to everybody that comes on our show. So we often will just, you know, get a pitch of like 2 or 3 paragraphs, maybe at most, of what the story is going to be before we start to put a cast together for the show. And then we get to meet with everybody. Maybe it's one-on-one or maybe it's a group rehearsal and just kind of hear the story, give a little bit of feedback, talk a little bit more about what the show is with them. But for the most part, we're just trusting the people that we invite to the show because we've you know, we've seen them perform before. Or they've come recommended to us very highly to deliver the goods, and they always do. I feel like every show that we do, it gets a little bit better and better each time. Because a lot of times also, the people who are in the show have just come to see us recently and been like, oh, actually, I have a teenage story that I want to do on the show. And so then they reach out and pitch it to us. So it's like, you know, they see the show and they come ready to make it even better the next time.
Wonderful. Grant, anything to add to that?
I mean, truly, we've had such a wide array of storytellers on. We've had people who are performers like us who tell stories all the time. We've had people who are kind of venturing into this through, like, maybe they're writers, maybe they have careers in other fields. And then in some, like, we've had people, like, two or three people on who have never told a story before, and we've been able to work with them and coach them and present something they can be really proud of in front of an audience. And people really seem to vibe with it. You know, there's always a case where somebody walks up to one of our storytellers or to us and just says, like, wow, that makes me think of this thing that I went through back in the day. And that's kind of the most rewarding part of the whole thing.
I love that. That is wonderful. Well, let me ask the two of you, is there a message or a thought you hope that audiences take away from Awkward Teenage Years? And Grant, why don't I start first with you on that?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of touches on what I just said. We tend to try to accomplish here what the best of storytelling in general tends to get across, which is that we want to create like a connection between our storytellers on stage and the audience through like a shared catharsis or relatability. The funny thing about storytelling is more often than not, when you get more specific about your own life, that's when you start touching on things that are universal for an audience to listen to. So we kind of hope that people will walk away feeling entertained, feeling like they've gotten to know our guests on that stage, and maybe thinking back and reflecting on their own teenage years, walking away going like, oh, wow, I remember when I was learning how to drive. I remember when I had to take that part-time job. I remember when I was rejected by this girl, you know, and maybe think about just the ways we were all going through these similar experiences in our lives that are still unique to us in a personal way.
I love that idea. That's fantastic. Will, how about you? Is there a message or thought you hope audiences take away?
Yeah, I like to joke at the beginning of the shows when I host that, you know, this is the show where we gather in a basement to share our traumas for your entertainment. And that's sort of like what it boils down to. Like, the teenage years are such a just wild, like, transitional times in our life, you know, and sharing those really vulnerable stories, I think it's great, because oftentimes people will come to the show and they'll share something, you know, traumatic or humiliating or whatever from their teenage years, and they'll sort of see an echo in their adult lives of what happened then. It was something they learned, it's changed them as a person. It's always really interesting to think about it. And every time I, you know, we have one of these shows, like, I find myself thinking of more and more stories that I can share, even though I don't even know, I've probably shared 25 or so teenage stories at this point, but you would think I wouldn't be able to remember that much, but the more shows we do, the more these memories get stirred up. And the show is really about, like, coming of age, I guess. And that's what we focus on, and we hope that people are interested in. And we find that our audiences tend to be, like, some of the warmest, I think, that we've experienced in the storytelling world because of that shared vulnerability. Everybody was a teenager and went, you know, pretty badly for most of us at some point, right? So we can all relate.
That is wonderful. I love that. Anyone who says they had no problem with their teenage years, never trust them. Never trust them. That's a lie.
Yeah, they're lying.
At the highest level. Well, my final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to Awkward Teenage Years? And Grant, I'm going to start with you once again on this question, if I may.
Sure thing. We try to, you know, it is a show that we try to make as accessible to, you know, everybody, as many, you know, I know that seems like kind of a cop-out answer because everybody wants their thing to be for everybody. But truly, I think it's hitting on things that just about anybody can relate to. We really put a lot of work into making sure we have as much diversity in each show's lineup as possible, so that we're hearing a wide range of experiences from as many walks of life, as many cultural or identity backgrounds as we can, you know. And especially because, like, you know, we are working with Frigid NYC on this show, and they make an effort to live stream as our performances as well. So even if you can't physically be in the theater, there is a way to watch it online. And even then, like, we tend to go the extra mile. Will here is does work in videography as well. And so he tries to record the shows so that we can have something to put on our YouTube channel later. So it's like it's something we've really made a labor of love to try to get out to as many people as possible.
So we're, you know, you can't see us. Maybe you can just hear us if you're listening to this podcast, but Grant and I are two, you know, cis hetero white guys. So we have to make an extra effort to make sure that the show is diverse. And we really do that, I think, pretty well. I hope so, pretty well. And not just like culturally, but like when we try to feature people who, you know, have disabilities on the show. I mean, we really try to actively seek out people with all kinds of different backgrounds and perspectives. And we hope that our audience will reflect that as well.
Second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit more. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I want to start by asking the two of you our perennial question. What or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites? And Will, can we start with you on that, please?
Sure. I think that the one answer that we probably would all say, both Grant and I and people who've been on the show, a common thread that Grant mentioned before is Adam Wade. He's kind of like the OG New York City storyteller that connects so many of us because he teaches storytelling. And a lot of us have met through his classes, and he also refers people to us all the time. Students that have come through his classes that might tell a teenage story in his class or just that he thinks are great. So he's a great inspiration because he makes his living doing storytelling and is obviously awesome at it. I think somebody who inspires me too, and well, I know Grant as well, because sorry, I'm stealing your answers, but I mean, we've talked about Mike Birbiglia a lot. He's, you know, really fantastic comedian and storyteller. Somebody like Ophira Eisenberg really inspires me as well. Another comedian slash storyteller who hosts at the Moth a lot and has actually appeared on a few of our shows. Those are probably three of my biggest inspirations right now.
Love that list. Some wonderful names on there. Thank you for that. Grant, how about you? What or who inspires you?
I mean, yeah, if you heard two guys coming on here talking about storytelling and neither of us mentioned Mike Birbiglia, you'd have reason to suspect our credentials. Yeah, Birbiglia is a big one for me. I'll even throw out Chris Gethard is someone I'm a big fan of, who his work has not only inspired me, but encouraged me to change my life in more ways than one. And, you know, I'm kind of a multimedia obsessive. So if I find somebody I like, I want to see everything they do. Like I like Kevin Smith, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Bobcat Goldthwait. I know that's a random one, but he's become a really interesting filmmaker who I'm always curious to see what he's going to do next. And yeah, I've become more and more inspired by just storytellers Will and I have gotten to know through being in New York and working with various people, you know, like Aaron Barker, Devin Sandiford, Azur Bunte Ali, like just to pull names off the top of my head, like really, really unique, talented, vulnerable storytellers who are really masterful at what they do.
That is a fantastic list there as well. Loving this. Yes. Let me ask both of you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Grant, I want to bounce to you first on that one.
My favorite part, like I come from a theater background. My favorite part of working in the theater is always just collaborating with other people, like being in the same space with other artists in the past, with other actors, with technicians, with people who are all kind of working together as a team, as a unit to try to make something come to life. Like that's where you know, it's that's why I value theater so much as a person to person art form. It's very much about like the moment you're in and sharing together with everyone on stage, backstage, in the audience and everything. It takes everyone to make that experience viable. And that's always what I've loved the most about it.
That is such a lovely answer. Will, how about you? What is your favorite part about working in the theater?
I am a little bit of a tech nerd, I guess. Like Grant mentioned, I do videography, video production work in my day job. And I love the minutiae of, you know, getting the lights set and the audio working and the slides and everything just right to make the visual experience and the auditory experience of the show great. Shout out to our longtime tech, Lauren Arneson, who's been with us since 2020 Fringe. But my favorite part really might just be after the show, getting to talk with audience members. And even if it's just one person who really connected to whatever I had to say, usually it's something, some little comment that I made offhand in my story or something that may not have meant that much to me, but it like really sparks some memory for them. That's my favorite thing, I think, about storytelling in general, which is, I guess, my entryway to the theater at this point in my life.
That is also a lovely answer. I love that. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory? Or Will, in your case, what's another of your favorite theater memories?
So I actually tell a story that I've told at Awkward Teenagers a couple of times about my favorite theater memory, because it's my first theater memory. And it's essentially getting roped into performing in Oklahoma when I was in the 10th grade. I was more of a soccer player than a theater person, but my English teacher convinced me that if I would participate in the musical, it'd be a great way for me to meet girls, which was true. But I ended up playing Judd in that production, which was not what I thought I was signing up for a major role. I ended up singing, not dancing. That would wait until the next year. But I would have just never gotten involved in the theater at all had it not been for that experience. And performing in those three shows, you know, in front of a crowd of several hundred at my high school was just electrifying, and think about that a lot. And it's one of my favorite stories to tell, actually.
Oh my God, I love join the theater, meet girl. That's that is fantastic. Oh, thank you for that. Grant, what about you? What is your favorite theater memory?
You know, that I have a similar, this is one I've shared on our show before too, but I really do think it's a kind of a lightning rod moment for my love of being in theater. When I was in 10th grade, our spring musical was Grease. And, you know, I got cast as Danny Zuko in that production. Well, what ended up happening was that at a certain point in the production, our drama teacher who was directing and the kid playing the teen angel, they did not get along. So the kid playing the teen angel dropped out. And it was very close to opening. Like we didn't, there was no time to like find anyone else who could do it. And my teacher pulled me aside and said, I know you're working on a lot being Danny right now, but I've been watching you in rehearsals and you're the only other kid who knows the lyrics to Beauty School Dropout. And so would you be willing to play the teen angel instead? And I'm like, for some reason I said yes, I guess because I wanted the challenge, even though I'm like, yeah, that is a lot, especially because Danny's in the scene right before that song comes up. But we got it together. We worked out the transition and the costume change. And I think that opening night, I got more applause as the teen angel than I did for anything I did as Danny and everything like that. And I think by the end of that show, I was like, even with the organized chaos of it all, I was like, oh, yeah, I think this might be something I want to keep doing. Like, I think it set me on the road for sure to a certain degree.
That is amazing. Oh my gosh, I love that. What a great memory. Thank you so much for sharing that. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, are there any other projects or productions that either of you have coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug?
You know, we do Awkward Teenage Years every other month right now. So we got another one, you know, the one coming up May 1st, there's another one July 10th. And then we haven't set our schedule for the rest of the year yet, but it's usually going to be like every other month on the first Wednesday. And then I also have a solo show that I did at last year's Frigid Fringe, and I'm hoping to bring to some other fringe festivals maybe later this year, probably more so in 2025, because I have a very small child that lives in my house now who's turning one tomorrow. So this has not been a year where I get to produce as much theater as I might like, but hopefully next year I'm going to be out on the road a little bit with my solo show called Syncope, which is a long form story about my journey with marijuana and my mental health.
That is amazing. And the show is amazing, listeners. Just to remind you, we had Will on our show last year when we were covering the Frigid Fringe at that time, and we got to see Syncope, and it was really, really fantastic. So that's incredible. Grant, anything for you?
I will second. If you get a, if anyone listening out there gets a chance to see Syncope in the future, you absolutely should. Will did a terrific job with it. We've got, again, we've got Awkward Teenage Years every 2 months after our May 1st show. The next one will be July 10th. I am also a producer for The Story Collider, which is another storytelling show in New York City. We do those shows quarterly. So Story Collider, they got their own podcast. You go check that out. You can find all the updates on there. Meanwhile, I also have a solo show called The Public Private Prayer, which is about my religious upbringing in Alabama and my more agnostic feelings in my adulthood. We are currently working on finding performance opportunities for that either this year or next year. So if you want to follow me on social media, that's a great way to stay in touch and see if anything happens.
Fantastic. Some great, great stuff coming down the pipeline for both of you. And a wonderful lead into my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Awkward Teenage Years or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Well, the best way to reach out to Awkward Teenage Years would be Instagram. That's where we're the most active. We're at Awkward Teenage Years. We are also on the Facebook, although not like super active there necessarily. And we have a Threads. I don't know if anybody's really actively doing that, but we have one. And then we have all of our past shows, Grant mentioned it earlier, on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube/@awkwardteenageyears, you'll find every show that we've ever done, except for one that didn't get recorded due to some crazy tech issues. But I think
we'll tell you about that one sometime.
Yeah. I think we're at like 30 something shows now, and they're all there for your viewing pleasure. And then there's also the email. If you want to send us a pitch or just say hi, it's awkwardteenageyears@gmail.com. And then if you want to follow me personally on Instagram, it's @_WillClegg_. It's a terrible username, but that's how you find it.
Yeah, I'll second everything Will said. And if you want to follow me, I'm @jgrantbowen on Instagram. I will vouch. I tend to handle things on the social media side of things, and I can verify that Threads account is not seeing much action. So maybe Instagram and Facebook are the best ways to go.
I love it. Well, Will, Grant, thank you both so much for taking the time to join us today and for sharing this incredible piece. I cannot wait to see an iteration of it. This sounds amazing. So thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
My guests today have been the co-producers and co-hosts of the amazing show Awkward Teenage Years, Will Clegg and Grant Bowen. They joined us to talk about the upcoming production of Awkward Teenage Years being presented by Frigid New York and Pale Girl Productions. It's happening Wednesday, May 1st at Under St. Mark's, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting frigid.nyc. We also have some contact info for both the show and our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you go out, get your tickets now. There's not that many seats in this theater, so you got to get them while they last. Head to frigid.nyc, get your tickets for Awkward Teenage Years happening Wednesday, May 1st. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater.
Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
If If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.